So obviously today is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. And you know, it's a familiar event. We all know it, right? Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. We always start our service with the kids waving palm branches. And so it's the same event every year at this time that we get to preach on. And so, to be honest, I wasn't super excited because it's like, well, what else can I say about it? God, Jesus riding in on a donkey, people waving branches, Hosanna. But then the Holy Spirit thumped me on the head as I was reading again. And this is what's amazing about the Bible, everybody. No matter how much you may think you know or whatever, the Holy Spirit always works through His Word and opens our eyes and our ears to stuff that we maybe never noticed before. Which is what exactly happened to me again as I was reading through this event. And this time, something that I noticed that I never really noticed before is there's three in John's account, which I'm going to read here in a second. There's three groups of people, and they all have different reactions to this whole event. So see if you can pick up on those as I read this event from John chapter 12. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughters of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. And this is the word of God from John. And so as I mentioned, there are three groups of people here that have reactions to this whole event. And the first one I want to look at is the crowd. There is a large crowd following Jesus. The ones that were tearing down the palm branches, laying out their cloaks so the donkey didn't have to touch the dirt. There were lots of Jews in Jerusalem at this time because they were there for the Passover feast, which was going to be happening in a few days from Sunday, this particular day. And so there were extra people here in town. More people than normal. And so the crowd, a lot of this crowd had just heard about something amazing that this guy had done. See, right before this, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the grave. And so even back then, without Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and whatever, word traveled fast. They heard about this guy that raised somebody from the dead. So they're like, hey, let's go out and see this guy. And then there were a lot of people already following Jesus because they were ones that witnessed Lazarus being raised from the dead. And so there's lots of people. And they were all excited. See, the crowd, the reaction of the crowd was excitement. Jesus was at the height of his popularity at this moment. They were all excited to see this guy. You know, they had reactions like, hey, this is cool. This is exciting. Let's go see this guy. He just raised somebody from the dead. He's got to be the guy that's going to save us from the Romans. Kick the Romans out. And we can go back to the good old days. Ah, the good old days, right? You know, back when gas was 79.9. Back when you could buy a Snickers for a nickel. Back when, you know, you could walk to school uphill both ways in the snow. With one leg. Back to the days, you know, when you could leave your doors unlocked, right? The good old days. This is what these people were thinking. The good old days of Israel. You know, they were excited because they were a lot like bandwagon fans. Anybody heard that term before? People that just jump on the bandwagon when things are good. You know, back in 2011 when the Packers won the Super Bowl, all these people all of a sudden are, oh, we're Packer fans. And I was like, where were you in the 80s and early 90s when we stunk? You weren't on this wagon. But that's what these people were like. They were like bandwagon fans. They were excited to be a part of this crowd that was following Jesus. See, this was an easy time to follow Jesus. Everyone was doing it. And that's when it's easy to do things, right? When everyone is doing it, everything's going good. That's what was happening on this first Palm Sunday. So my question here this Palm Sunday for you, one of my, you know, I like to ask questions. How often do you find yourself being one of the crowd? It's easy to follow Jesus when things are going well in your life. It's harder when you are asked to deny yourself and carry your cross. It's easier to go to church and to read your Bible when it's convenient for your schedule. It's a little bit harder when we have to be more intentional about making it a part of our day. You know, it's easy to go to church on Easter Sunday when everything is joyous and exciting and everybody's wearing their Easter outfits. It's a little bit harder going to church on Thursday and Friday when things are more somber and we're confronted with the man nailed to the cross, bleeding and dying because of us. It's a little bit harder. It's just not as exciting, is it? And this same, on that first Palm Sunday, this same excited crowd who couldn't wait to be following Jesus, to be with him, to tear palm branches off the trees, to lay out their cloaks. They were so excited. It's this same crowd that a few days later would be yelling, "Crucify him!" Because then it wasn't so easy. So that's the crowd. Next group of people are the Pharisees. And the reaction of the Pharisees was anger and fear to this whole event. They were angry because of Jesus' popularity. They didn't like it. It was a threat to them. It was a threat to their power and authority that they had over the people. Because of all the laws that they have made up over the years, they were losing hold. And they were afraid because they were losing their grip of control. Do you like to be in control, anybody? Do you like to give it up freely? I don't like to give up the remote controller. These guys liked to be in charge. And they were afraid and angry that Jesus was now threatening their position. Which leads us to the third group of people here that John tells us about, and it's the disciples. Jesus' 12 disciples. And their reaction was confusion. They were confused. If you look at verse 16 in John chapter 12, John writes this. He says, his disciples did not understand these things at first. They were confused. The disciples' reaction was confusion. They just didn't understand. And you know the cool thing about this event here that John records is even though they didn't understand, you can tell that John is doing more than just telling what happened on that day. He's reflecting back because what does he say? They didn't understand, but then when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. Have you ever read the Bible, read something, anything in the Bible, and it was just so confusing? And it's hard to understand anybody? It can be very confusing at times, can it? You know, we make it harder than it really needs to be. And you know, the more that you read the Bible, the more that you hear the Bible being read, the more the Holy Spirit is going to make you see, make you hear, make you understand. Just like he did with the disciples back then. They were confused at this whole Palm Sunday event. But when they looked back at it, they could see. Because the Holy Spirit had opened it up to them. Just like he does to you and to I. All the time. That's why it's so important for us to be in the Word. Not just on Sunday morning. And as I always like to talk about, the Bible is nothing but one. You know, O-N-E, it's one narrative of events. That's it. Let's go back to the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9. This Palm Sunday event of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey is not just some random event. Zechariah 9, verse 9 through 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey. On a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. See, this guy on this donkey is going to bring peace. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you. And Pastor Ben talked about the covenant last week that God made with his people. The covenant from, we can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. The covenant he made with us was signed in blood. I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Guess what? We are those prisoners. And sometimes, do you ever feel like you're in a waterless pit? A pit you can't get out of? And not only that, there's no water. He has come to set you free from that pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope, telling us to return to him. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. The Bible is nothing other than one narrative events connected by the crimson thread. This is the prophet Zechariah saying these words to the people inspired by God to look out for this. And lo and behold, the reading that we read in John, Jesus fulfills it. as he rides into Jerusalem to save his people. So I ask you the question, what is your reaction to this event? How do you reflect and react to this man hanging on the cross? This man, the Son of God, Jesus, who is coming to you on a donkey. How do you react? Is your reaction one of excitement? Or does it wane when the going gets tough? You know, we most certainly can always be excited about our Savior, even when things are going cruddy. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says these words, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is pretty clear here. If you feel like you're in that waterless pit, if you feel like everything's going cruddy, it's not very easy to follow Jesus right now. Look at what Jesus is telling you. I have a picture, I think, on the screen of Jesus. "Come to me," he says, "and I will give you rest." Why don't we do that more often? Or is your reaction one of frustration or fear because you are losing control of your life? You know, it can be frustrating at times when God doesn't work in your life how you want him to work, right? And then sometimes we question whether he's really answering our prayers. Are you really hearing me, God? Yes, he hears you. He's answering you. It just might not be what you want. You know, and it can cause us to be afraid sometimes. It can cause us fear when we realize that we actually are better off when we aren't in control. It can be scary, can it? To deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. You know, I've mentioned this before, but it's worth repeating. One of the bumper stickers that's always annoyed me greatly is the one that says, "Jesus is my co-pilot." Anybody ever seen that? I mean, it sounds nice, right? But here's the problem. By saying that, he's my co-pilot, you don't want to give up control. Not only should Jesus not be your co-pilot, he should be the pilot, you should be in the trunk. You know, life is hard, and it can be scary at times. Am I right? It's tough. And it's not getting any easier for us to be Christians here in America. It's certainly not easy to be Christian in a lot of the other countries of this world where they're being killed, literally, for being Christian. That isn't happening here yet. But listen to 1 Peter 5, these words here. Peter, one of the main disciples, never afraid to speak up, says these words here. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Give him the control, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxiety on him." Why? Because he cares for you. That's why we should do this. You know, back to John, another passage that Jesus talked about or said to his disciples, actually the night of Maundy Thursday, in a few days, at the Last Supper, Jesus said these words to his disciples, and he says them to us also. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We don't need to be afraid to give up the wheel, to get in the trunk, because he's in control. He's got it. He's got you. You're not in a waterless pit. And then lastly, is your reaction one of confusion? Because all this Bible stuff is just so hard to understand, right? Well, I want to simplify things for you here this morning. You heard the event about Palm Sunday, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. You saw that it was prophesied about in Zechariah chapter 9 that the Savior would be coming on a donkey to bring peace, to rescue you from the waterless pit. And now full circle. The book of Revelation says this. After this I looked, the I here is John, the disciple who's given this vision of heaven. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with what in their hands? Palm branches, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And this last picture I have up here is what's going to happen on that last day when Jesus comes back to get us, the Lamb who is on the throne already reigning, who bled and died for you, is going to welcome you with open arms in heaven. Amen.